What I'd like to do right now, if everybody has the notes, is we'll just go ahead and pray over this this time in the Word together. Are you ready? All right. Father, thank you this morning for your Word. Again, for all of these wonderful children presented to you this morning. Lord, we ask today that as we continue in this service, Lord, your Word would come alive in every one of our hearts. It would be living to us. You would speak to us. Lord, we would be encouraged and challenged and strengthened. Lord, that our understanding would grow. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. All right, so this morning, the subject of part 7, to put it very simply, is endurance. I want to speak to you about endurance today. And we kind of keyed in on this a couple of weeks ago in part 6, because we ended with Galatians chapter 6, verse 9, that tells us, don't grow weary in well-doing, excuse me, for in due season we shall reap if we don't lose heart. And the New Living Translation says, in due season we shall reap if we do not give up. And so there's this not giving up, and that really begins to segue for us into endurance, this element, this character of someone that just doesn't quit and doesn't give up. And that word, I'm going to give you the Greek word in just a minute, but the word in English used in the New Testament so often is endurance or patient endurance. Also, you see the term perseverance. And all of those things are there, and they're emphasized over and over again in Scripture. I want to show you, first of all, in Hebrews 10:36. I'm going to introduce it to us here, and then we'll, by way of introduction, jump into a few other passages today about this word endurance. So Hebrews 10:36. I'd like you to read this with me up on the screen behind me, and let's just start reading it just like it is, and then we're going to modify it a little bit in a second. Are you ready? Everybody ready to read the word? Okay, let's do it. For you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. Amen. Now, everywhere it says you, I want you to put in I. Are you ready? For I have need of endurance, so that after I have done the will of God, I may receive the promise. I have need of endurance. That's true. That's a true statement about myself, and it's a true statement when you're saying that about yourself. We need endurance. It's really a huge, I believe, a very important quality in these last days as we serve the Lord and we live in the times that we live in, the exciting, wonderful days that we live in. We need endurance. I believe just as encouragement is a huge, probably an underemphasized thing. We need the ministry of encouragement in the body today. In the same way, we need endurance. And it's sort of the other side of that coin. Now, I want you to think a little bit about the context of Hebrews today, because the Hebrews, and I believe Paul was likely the author of this letter under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit to the Jewish Christians, thus called Hebrews. But I believe that while Paul is a writer, what's important to note here is the context that they were living in, the situation they were living in. These people were suffering. They were going through persecution. They were being deeply tested. And we all know we're going to go through testing. All of us are going to go through it. This church was going through it. And I think the typical response when somebody is going through a difficult time, I think typically, and hopefully, if you're the one going through the difficult time, you want people to have compassion on you. I think that a lot of times when you see someone going through a difficult time, you want to have compassion on them. And that's, you want to say like, hey, I'm sorry you're going through this. I'm praying for the situation to be resolved. It must be hard. And I think those kinds of responses are good. But possibly, in this situation, that would have been an incomplete response. And Paul also doesn't come in there and say, hey, you have need of peace or deliverance or rest or comfort. While those all might have been associated needs, Paul doesn't highlight that for them in this moment, because there was something they needed more, and they needed it to be quickened in their heart, and they needed this to come alive in their heart. And so the writer of Hebrews says, you have need of patience. Patience, or endurance. And that really was the message of the whole book of Hebrews, that they needed patience. They needed perseverance. And by extension, God is saying to us, you have need of endurance. You have need. And we absolutely have need of endurance. Just say it with me. I need endurance. Yeah, we need it. Now, here's the Greek word for endurance. It's hupomone. All you Greek scholars out there, I'm sure I'm saying it wrong, but just that's what I'm going to call it for today. Hupomone. And what this means, the word hupo, it has to do with being over. There's a triumphant quality to this endurance we're talking about here. It's not just slugging it through and like, I'm barely going to make it, but I'm going to. It's not a grumpy endurance. It's actually a cheerful, an endurance that is full of cheer, full of hope. And there's a constancy to it, a patience or a patient continuance. All of those things are connected to hupomone. And it really starts to connect us to our series theme, Take Heart. We know be of good cheer is taking heart. There's a cheerfulness connected to endurance, to this kind of endurance. And we know, of course, that there is a joy of the Lord connected to the strength we need to have operating in our lives. So cheerful endurance. In the New Testament, some lexicons say it like this. In the New Testament, endurance is a characteristic of a man or a woman who has not swerved from his deliberate purpose and his loyalty to faith by even the greatest trials and sufferings. So, everybody say cheerful endurance. That's a part of the definition. We can't miss that cheerful part. I'm going to come back and talk about that in a minute. But I want to highlight it in your hearts this morning. Cheerful endurance. I don't know if you've ever heard somebody say something like, you know, God's not here to make you happy. He's here to make you holy or something like that. I've heard things like that before, and it's not true. God wants you to. God is as happy as He is holy. A, and we're being transformed in His image, and we're called to be happy and holy all together at once. And I would suggest that if you're grumpy and holy, you're not holy enough. Or if you're happy and not holy, you're not truly happy. I mean, this is a surface thing. There's a deep joy with true holiness that comes in our lives, and in the same way, there's this endurance that has a joy in it. And it's a beautiful thing. And it's what the Bible calls hupomone. Okay, so James 5, verse 10 and 11. I'm going to read from the Message translation because I want to talk about how this describes hupomone. James 5, verse 10 says, take the old prophets as your mentors. They put up with anything. They went through everything. Never once quit. All the time honoring God. So there's a part of going through something while you're honoring God that carries this hupomone quality. Verse 11 puts it in these terms. What a gift life is to those who stay the course. You've heard, of course, of Job's staying power. And that phrase, staying power, is actually the specific word, hupomone, in that passage. Staying power. Sticking with it. Not quitting. Not giving up, not giving in, staying power. Okay, so real quickly, I want to talk to you about a few points, and I'm going to spend a little more time on the third point, but I'm going to talk to you about a few points regarding endurance in the Scripture and the role it plays in our lives. So point number one, inside cover of your notes, endurance is necessary to bring forth good fruit. If we want to have fruit in our lives, we've got to have endurance. It's a critical thing. And when in the parable of the sower, Jesus talks about four kinds of ground. He talks about how there's stony ground. He talks about how there's ground with thorns in it. There's shallow ground. And he speaks about good soil. And it's interesting that the first place hupomone is used is in the Gospel of Luke, verse 15. And he's describing the good soil that brings forth fruit. It says, the ones that fell on the good ground are those who, having heard the word with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with hupomone, with patience. So it's not just that the ground is good. What defines the ground as being good ground is a heart, the soil of a heart that has endurance in it. It's like this fertilizer mixed into the soil. It's like plant food. And that endurance that's in there causes the seed that God's planted in you to bring forth much fruit. But endurance is a critical element of that, this hupomone. It's telling us that if we're going to have fruitfulness in our lives, we're going to need some endurance. Every farmer knows that, right? It's not just instant, like plant a seed, get a crop. It's not that fast. There's a process. There's plowing. There's watering. There's fertilizing. There's all these steps to do it. You got to stick with it and to wait for the rain to bring that harvest. And in the same way, in our lives, for the fruit of character, the fruit of souls, the fruit of God's purpose to develop in our lives, we need endurance. That really is something we saw already in Galatians 6:9, right? We will have a harvest, we'll be fruitful, if we don't give up. So we know that already. This kind of doubles back on that and reestablishes that. We need this for fruitfulness. And that's contrasted quite a bit with a lot of the other kinds of soil. Jesus spoke of, you know, the shoot that comes up for a short time, but when tribulation or persecution arrive because of the word, immediately that person stumbles. So you've got to have endurance. Number two, endurance is developed through testing. It's developed through testing. And James chapter 1 teaches us that the testing of our faith produces hupomone, produces this cheerful endurance. So we're going to read in James 1, beginning in verse 2. And he says here, consider it pure, this is the NIV, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces, everyone say produces, it produces something. There is a product, there is produce, something is developed in your life that wasn't there before. When your faith is tested, what's produced is hupomone. Cheerful endurance is released in your life. And verse 4 tells us what that stuff does. This hupomone, let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. When hupomone is at work in our lives, it brings us to maturity. It's God's tool to bring us to the place where we lack nothing in our lives. And so it's like all of this stuff is released. That's why we can do what verse 2 says, which is count it pure joy. Not even just like a little bit of joy or I'm kind of happy about that. Pure joy. And the King James says count it all joy. Whatever your equation is to do the math on your tests, add it all up, count it all up, put it into an algorithm, put it into a formula, put everything together and do all your mathematics, and then put a kingdom grid over it. And what's going to happen when you do that is it's going to be pure joy. Count it all joy. And it's even saying to the extent that if we don't have joy in that testing, it's because we really don't have a full enough perspective about it. Because if we really saw what God was doing in it, we'd be like, pure joy. Now, as I'm saying that, you're probably, I don't know, reacting to that like I react to that, I would guess, maybe a little bit. And, you know, when faith is tested, it doesn't really feel that good in the moment. It's not something that you look forward to and say, wow, I just can't wait to go through stuff. I just love it when I do. It's just so fun. You know, like it's... Hardship and difficulties aren't normally associated with joy in our hearts. It's kind of contrary to our natural tendency to count that stuff as joy in our lives. But because we get a chance to grow, because it's part of God's process to mature us, because of that, we can count it joy. Another translation says, know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow. This is saying don't shortcut that process by not having the right kind of attitude toward. Attitude is everything with this. With this endurance we're talking about, attitude is everything. We've got to have the right attitude with it. We need an attitude adjustment. I'm in the front of the line, I'll tell you that right now. We all need this. We all have to grow in this area of endurance. So testing in difficult seasons, they have the incredible effect of giving us the opportunity for our roots to go down deep into Christ. And we see this in nature all the time, that trees that grow up in a windy environment, in the elements, if you will, they become stronger faster. As winds whip around a young sapling, two things happen. When that wind comes, it's a signal to its roots to go down deeper. And it's a signal to the growth of its bark and of its limbs to create more cells to strengthen those branches as well as make them more flexible. So the end result is the roots are deeper and the branches are stronger for a tree that's exposed to the elements. So when the Lord is exposing you to the elements, and the Bible says that you and I are trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He may be glorified, when He's allowing that to happen in our lives, it's never for punishment. It's only for our good and for Him to develop us in our lives, because there's a way that we will only grow when we are exposed to the elements. It's necessary. I want you to consider this for a moment. There is no resistance in heaven. There are no elements that are adversarial in heaven. There isn't any testing in heaven. The elements necessary for your spiritual growth are found here in this life, not there. Now, look, there's so much we don't know about heaven. I'm not saying we won't mature and discover and do all these things, but I'm talking specifically about character right now. If character grows where there's testing, according to the Word, and there's not testing in heaven, that tells us that our character development happens here. Right now. In this life. You know, in some ways, we won't be able to bring God a sacrifice of praise in heaven. Because when we bring a sacrifice of praise, what we're doing is we're saying, this praise I'm bringing right now, it's costing me something. It is hard to do. It is sacrificial. I'm going through something. I'm battling doubt and fear and anxiety and all this burden on my life, but I'm coming to you anyway, and I praise you, God. I mean, we're not going to have to get through any of that stuff there. It's such a high and holy privilege to say, God, in this life, going through the water, going through the fire, going through whatever I'm going through, I choose you. I choose to love you. I choose to seek you. I choose to honor you. I choose to press into you right now. And there's a way that when we choose that and we choose the path of hupomone, there's a way that it develops us that we could never be developed. And that's why we can count it all joy, because in that moment, we get to give God something here that we won't be able to give Him in eternity. Ever think about that? Step back and think about that when you're facing a test. Even that thought will cause you to start counting that as all joy. All right. Y'all good? Everybody okay? Talking about testing. Woo! Yes! Count it joy. Everyone get a whoop whoop! All right. Count it joy. All right. So, you know, rewards are at the beginning, not the end of eternity. You realize that? Because we're not rewarded for what we do in eternity. We're rewarded for what we do now. How we chose to obey and serve, to embrace God's word, to lay down our lives for Him and for others, to press into Him no matter what was going on. Those choices that we make now are what's rewarded in eternity. Those are the crowns that were put on us that we can throw down at His feet. That stuff happens here and it happens now. And I think when we really understand how beautiful those rewards are, how awesome it is to have something to lay at the Master's feet, we'll count it joy when we get the opportunity to grow in that, to have something to worship Him with in eternity. Ready for number three? Here's number three. Endurance is needed for finishing the race of faith. Endurance is needed for finishing the race of faith. Hupomone. Hebrews 12, verse 1 and 2 says, therefore we also, since this is after the whole hall of faith and after the exhortation that we have need of patience, chapter 10, chapter 11, hall of faith, chapter 12, therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance, with hupomone, the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured, also hupomone, the cross. This verse is telling us that, yes, we look unto Jesus. He's the author and finisher. But it's telling us that we need to run the race like Jesus ran the race. How did he run it? He ran it with cheerful endurance. He ran it with hupomone. And it's saying, just like Jesus ran, you run. He ran with the finish line in mind. He ran with for the joy that was set before him. It's saying the same way. Surrounded by all these witnesses, seeing the finish line, looking to Jesus, the author and finisher, run like that. So, this is saying to look to Jesus as our vision, but it's also highlighting that Jesus is the author and the finisher. He's not just the one who starts the work in our lives, he finishes the work in our lives. How many Giants fans in the house? Any Giants fans? Any Cubs fans? Any Cubs fans? No? Congratulations. The Cubs are awesome this year. I'm a Giants fan. But you know, when you have a pitcher go out there and he's a starter, like you're excited to see all the stuff they have, and they're the main guys, they're the starter, and it's starting's fun and it's good. But man, in a close game, when that closer comes in, the finisher, I mean, that's when they're playing the loud music. That's when that guy is all business. That guy is like, we're going to get this done. Don't mess with me. I mean, there's a closer mindset. There's a closer attitude. There's a whole thing that closers bring. Jesus is not just the starter. He's the closer, okay? He's not just the one that begins. He's the one that finishes in our lives. And I was just thinking about races. And, you know, as we're talking about this, how the Lord brings new beginnings in our lives, and he also is the one that gives us what we need to finish. I was thinking about races and how races start. And, you know, I love the beginning of races, whether you're running the race or you're, you know, cheering some friends on that are running a race. You get to a starting line of a 5K, 10K marathon, something like that, a Tough Mudder. There's all of this buzz. There's all of this hype. There's all of this anticipation. Everybody's there, you know, and it's so easy to be encouraged. Even as a bystander, you're like, man, I'm almost ready to run this race too. It's so, I mean, today they're doing the beta breakers in the city. It's every, you know, people are crazy over there. And it's just like this whole fun scene to be a part of. And I feel like in the same way, I really like the beginning of spiritual races. When somebody gets saved and they're like, I'm all in. I love you, Lord. Yes! I mean, there's nothing like that. I love that. And I love it in the same way where people take a step in their spiritual journey where God gives them a dream, a purpose, a sense of calling, and they're going for it, and they're zealous about it. I love seeing that. Such a great sense of anticipation and excitement that lies ahead, and that excitement's contagious. But here's kind of an important reality check about the start of the race. Anyone can start a race. Anyone. Might be a marathon, could be a 100-mile race like Rachel's dad has run. He runs the Western States. It's 100 miles from Squaw Valley to Auburn, up, down, 100 miles in 24 hours. I'll tell you right now, I'm not conditioned to finish that race in 24 hours. But I could definitely be up there and be like, woo, and start that and run a couple miles and be like, yeah, you guys go on without me. Okay, like anybody can start a race. I'll see you. I've got my car waiting over here on I-80. I'm just going to just go over there. There's far fewer finishers than beginners. And while we celebrate starting, truly, what we really need to be impressed with is finishing, and finishing well. It's not about how you even start the race. It's not even about what the struggle happens in the middle of the race in terms of that defining it. It's how you finish it and finish it strong. That's what's important, and that's what matters. And I'm not telling you this today so that when you see somebody starting, you can be like, come back next week and show me how legit this really is. I mean, this is not to be a downer in anybody's vision or joy. God has put that excitement and that joy of starting something in our hearts. That's important. But we need to be equally impressed with the character that's necessary to finish the race well and to receive that from Jesus. So the real question in our lives is not how strong we're going to start, but how strong we will finish. And we need hupomone to finish. And yes, we get that by looking to Jesus. But how do we get more of it? How do we partner with the process of growing in cheerful endurance rather than skipping around it? Well, if you go to the backside of your notes, this is a really important point. It's very basic and simple, but it can be overlooked. And here it is. To get endurance, you have to endure. To get endurance, you have to endure. Look, at the start of the race, you might have all the right equipment. You might have the best shoes. You know, you might have a high-tech GPS watch. Man, it's a great watch. It's going to track everything, your heart rate, all the stuff. Track where you go, talk to you, encourage. You might even shout out little encouraging things to you along the way, play music for you. I don't know. You might have the trendiest running outfit. I mean, you might look good at the start of that race. You are looking good. You got your game on. You're ready to roll. But none of those things are going to get, none of that equipment is going to give you endurance. You might have had the most nutritious meals. You might be eating whatever you need to eat for a perfectly balanced run and all that kind of stuff. And you've got the right nutrition and organic meals and right carbs versus protein. You're properly hydrated, you know, all that kind of stuff. That won't give you endurance. You might even have a good intentions and excitement and a great sense of anticipation and like, wow, I can't wait to do this. This is going to be awesome. And you're there and you're like, wow, this is a feeling. Your attitude is good. A good attitude alone won't give you endurance. Because you can have all those things and they're all helpful, equipment, nutrition, attitude, but none of them are going to give you endurance. None of them will help you once you're a mile or two into that race and you're going up a hill and now you feel like you're going to pass out because you haven't conditioned yourself to actually get out there and do it. You just did all the other steps around it. To get endurance, you have to endure. You've got to have moments in your life where you're going for it and you feel like you want to give up, but you decide to keep going on. And in that moment, there's a conditioning that'll come to your physical body, and in like manner, a conditioning that'll come to your heart and to your spirit man, where you get an impartation of hupomone that is going to put something in the bank and in the tank for the next time you're called on to face something that's beyond what your normal capacity is, and you're able to face it. I don't want to be a runner that looks good at the starting line, and I've got the latest, trendiest, like, great running outfit or whatever, and a cool headband, and, like, awesome everything, but, like, I have no endurance. I'd rather be looking a little bit haggard and ghetto at the starting line and have an old pair of shoes on and, like, not be cool and not have any cool equipment but have endurance, because that person is actually going to finish strong. What I'd really like to have is to look great and to run great. But if you have to pick, pick just running great, right? Okay. I've seen how some of you all are. Some of you all that look all good and you got your workout clothes on, but like you never go to the gym. You just dress like you're going to go to the gym. You know who you are out there. I'm playing with you. But maybe you know someone like that, you know? No. So there's only one way to get endurance, and that's by training, by exercising, physically speaking. And this is a spiritual parallel, right? So by bumping up against your limits and not stopping, by getting to the point where you want to quit, but you don't quit. And next time you face the same thing, you're that much stronger. If you fall down, you don't stay down. You get up, you get back up, you go for it. And I'll tell you this right now. This is something we need to understand. Whenever you see someone doing something that you would consider heroic, like, man, they're playing with heart, or spiritually speaking, they're going through a tough time, but they are not stopping, pressing into God. They are worshiping. They are going after it. Or maybe whatever it is in life, when you see somebody playing with heart, living with heart, taking heart, and they're facing an obstacle that you know it's taking, like they're facing something and it's a challenge for them to face that. I want to tell you that what they're, the hupomone that you see in that moment, it is not just, it didn't get created in that moment. There were other smaller decisions and smaller victories in their secret history with God where they had the chance to say, you know what, I'm done, but they didn't give up and they kept going. And God conditioned their heart and their spiritual life through that. And so on and so forth, from glory to glory, from strength to strength. And when you saw them doing something heroic, we're all tempted in those moments to say, wow, I think for a moment it'd be fun just to rise up and do that. But no one just rises up and does that in the moment. It comes from a successive series of decisions to go after God, to receive from Him the strength necessary to let those deposits come into your life for hupomone to have its perfect work, so that you're perfect, complete, entire, lacking nothing, and have everything you need to face what the Lord actually knows is going to be coming in your life. You see, when He allows tests in our life, He knows something greater is coming, and He's wanting to put a deposit here that we're going to need there. So we need to learn to count it joy. Okay, all right. You guys are like, amen, Pastor. Okay. Let's look at 1 Timothy 4, 7 and 8. But reject profane and old wives' fables, and instead exercise yourself toward godliness. Say, Timothy, don't get into all kinds of crazy conversations about stuff that's meaningless. Timothy, son, exercise yourself toward godliness. And he says, bodily exercise profits a little. But godliness is profitable for all things, having promise of the life that now is and the life which is to come. So this is a metaphor being used here, this bodily exercise we're talking about, being conditioned. It's a metaphor for something spiritual. And the scripture is saying it's not apples to apples. You know, when you get a little more active physically, you start to feel better. You start to have more energy. You start to feel less sore. Maybe not in the beginning, but after a little while, you start to just feel better overall if you're active. But God is saying, in the spiritual sense, when you exercise yourself toward godliness, the benefit of that is exponentially greater than even physical exercise. And we need to exercise ourselves toward godliness. It has profit, benefit, not just now, but in the life that's to come. Now, the Greek meaning of the word exercise is gymnazo. Okay, it's a pretty easy one to remember. It's where you get gymnasium. Of course, the Greeks, the Olympics, all the different stuff in Greece. We know they're very athletic culture, all that kind of stuff. They're writing the Bible in Greek, so they're borrowing these terms, this language from culture. Gymnazo, exercise. And I want to give you a few things about exercise, three things real quick about this Greek word for exercise and the way they apply to our lives. There's a stripping down involved in exercise. We already read laying aside every sin and the weight that would hold you back. You know, when you exercise, you don't wear jewelry and layers of clothes and heavy shoes and, you know, trying to have your best little outfit on and all that kind of stuff. That's how you know when somebody's all dolled up in their exercise clothing, they're not actually going to exercise with all that, all their bling on and all that kind of stuff. They're not coming from the gym right then, okay? Because when you truly go to exercise and work out, you want it to be as simple as possible. Spiritually speaking, that involves laying aside of distractions, of weights, of burdens, of anxieties, of the things that would weigh our hearts down and hold us back, things that would come into our lives to displace the important things, that we lay those things aside, we strip down, we get basic and simple and say, Lord, I'm ready to work out. I'm stripping down. Okay? Putting all that stuff aside. All the sin, all the unhealthy choices. B, exercise involves repetition. Repetition. You don't go to the gym and get in shape in one day. You don't train for a marathon in one day. Whatever it is that you're good at physically, you don't do it in one day. It takes, you don't learn to play the piano all in one day. There's not. And I know people pray things like, Lord, impart to me the gift of playing piano, or give me a whole language to go be a missionary right now. And God can and does do that. But most things, you know, in the physical realm, they're going to come through repetition. Consistent intentionality. And if you're going to do that physically, you got to prioritize it. And if you're going to do it spiritually, you have to prioritize it, because everything else, everything is going to compete for that time. Now, when I say repetition and prioritizing something consistently, it doesn't mean that it has to, you know, be hours upon hours upon hours, but repetition and consistency. So important. Point C, exercise is vigorous. You know, in this Greek word, it's a vigorous thing. It's putting your all into it. It's not like you're kind of just, hey, you know, I'm just sort of scampering or going for a, you're like, no, it's your heart rate is up. You're going for it. It's like, I'm all in. It's not half-hearted. There's an element, it's a gymnasio to exercise that is very wholehearted. I'm completely going after this. I'm really giving it my best. So the stripping down, the repetition, the vigorous of it, and here's what happens. As you do that, as you exercise physically, you start to get conditioned. Same thing spiritually. As you exercise spiritually, as you begin to build the secret place in your life in a stronger way, in a more intentional and intense way, you begin to develop, you begin to grow spiritually as you exercise yourself toward godliness. In our family, we all have Fitbits. We've had them for about a year. Any Fitbitters out there? You got a Fitbit? Friend us on Fitbit. Find me on Fitbit and friend me. And you can be a part of our crazy work week hustle challenges and weekend warrior challenges. A Fitbit measures the steps that you take. So right now while I'm preaching, if I was in a challenge, I'd be like beating all of you that are just sitting in your seats. Okay? Because it measures your steps. Yeah. We just had one this last week. Ben got something like 50,000 steps on Friday to try to pull ahead of some of the other people in the church that were a part of it. And I think he walked like 70 miles this last week. You know you're going a little over the top. And I know some of you are out there. I know how you are. Because we've been in competitions. You all are on the treadmill like at 11:59 at night to get those last steps in. I know how you are. Ben was doing that at our house. He's walking around the kitchen. Our bedroom's beneath the kitchen. Ben's up there trying to step at night. We're trying to sleep. He's trying to get to 50,000 in one day. But we all measure our steps. And my Fitbit actually measures my heart rate too, right? So earlier this year, and I go through cycles. I'm trying to be more consistent just with physical exercise. It does profit a little. And I decided I'm going to start running more. I need to condition my heart a little bit better. And that's a good way to do that. So my Fitbit measures my heart rate. And here's what I found. It's very interesting because I've been running more since March. Back in February, I did a 5K run in this kind of around this loop here. And I ran that yesterday. And I compared my heart rates between the exact same run in the exact same amount of time. And just because I've been more consistent and I've been repeating the exercise and I've been doing it more regularly and all those kinds of things, my beats per minute, my heart rate was 20 beats per minute lower yesterday than it was in February, just because I've been consistent with it. Now, what I'm trying to tell you here is that, watch this. Our hearts, our physical hearts, get conditioned when we physically exercise, but our spirits get spiritually conditioned when we exercise ourselves to godliness, and the benefits are tangible now and in eternity. And it's just, exercise leads to more conditioning. You get into spiritual shape. Your spirit, man, gains strength. In those two runs I'm just talking about, when I did it like in February, I'm like, oh, I want to stop. This is painful. I can't breathe. And yesterday, I'm like, I hardly feel this right now. Okay? It just gets a little bit easier. It's easier to do what was previously difficult. And what we're talking about here, a lot of it happens in the secret place. And here's what I want to do. I was thinking about, Bruce Lee said running's the mother of all exercise. I was thinking about what's a modern exercise I can draw a spiritual parallel from. And I was thinking, burpees. Burpees are, if running might be the mother of all exercise, but burpees are like a close second, I think. They're a really tough, and if you don't know what a burpee is, I'm going to show you what a burpee is right now. I need some burpee. I need Kyle as a burpee volunteer. You know how to do burpees? Like, all the way up. None of this down there stuff. All the way up. So we can have you on camera for the nations, okay? And you ready for some burpees? You know what a burpee is, right? Okay, good. Kyle's a very good runner, by the way. He ran cross country for San Marin. And so I was thinking, wow. So I'm going to have you do a slow burpee first, okay? So do part one where you go down, okay? Yeah, all the way down. Do a push. Stop there. Stop on the floor. Okay, you can just rest on the floor. You don't have to plank. No. Actually, plank for like 90 seconds right there. Okay. No, don't do it. Just go all the way down. Yeah. So just rest. I was thinking, there's one part of exercising ourselves to godliness that involves humility, just getting down before the Lord. Here I am. I'm going to humble myself. I'm going to feed on your word. I'm going to surrender. I'm going to move into a place of dependency. It's so important to do that. Okay? And that's kind of like this part of the burpee, all right? Let's show them the next part of the burpee. Push up, swing your feet in, jumping air squat. Here we go. All right, so do a whole burpee now. Keep going. Clap when you get up too. Yeah. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. Keep going. I want to see like 30. No, I'm just kidding. You can stop. You can stop. You can stop. You can stop. Are you a little bit out of breath? Just a little?
A little bit.
He's in pretty good shape. And he doesn't know if he's breathing hard because he's nervous or
it's definitely nervous.
He's nervous. He could probably do like 100. Thank you, Kyle. Give him a hand. Give him a hand. Now, I want you to remember this. Our spiritual conditioning, it has that humility piece, but it also has that jumping up, and I'm going to exalt the Lord with all of my heart and all of my life, and I'm going to behold him in worship and in praise. I'm going to yada. I'm going to stretch out the hand. I'm going to praise him. And there's this way that our getting low before the Lord in dependency in the prayer closet and celebrating him with all of our life, with all of our heart in praise and worship. Those are two really key parts of our secret life before the Lord, our secret place life before the Lord. And you know what happens with those burpees? When you do that over and over again, first of all, your heart gets really well conditioned because you work cardiovascularly. You're working very hard and you get your heart rate up. It's good exercise. But what also happens is your core starts to get worked out because it's connecting all the stuff you're doing with your upper body to your lower body, and you start getting a really good core workout. And the thing for us spiritually, when we have that life of just I'm getting into the Word, I'm getting low before the Lord, I'm just pressing into him, I'm seeking his face, and I'm getting exuberant in my praise, my worship, celebrating him, not just at church but on my own, there's a way that it starts to work out. It starts to condition our hearts, and it starts to work out our core. And the scripture says, guard your heart with diligence. Out of it are the issues of life. And when your heart is healthy and it's well-conditioned, and when your core is healthy and well-conditioned, there's a flow of life that begins to come from you that is so much greater than was there before, all because you exercised yourself unto godliness. So we need to do a lot of spiritual burpees, and I hope you remember that cheesy, fun thing. And Kyle, you weren't cheesy. I was cheesy to make you do that, but that was awesome. So, when Paul wrote that to Timothy, and we're about to wrap up, if the worship team would come on and join us. Thank you guys so much. You know, obviously, godliness, exercise yourself to godliness. It's talking about our holiness, our devotion, our character before the Lord. And that word godliness is used about 15 times in the New Testament, but 9 of them, 60% of them, are in Paul's letters to his spiritual son Timothy, which means a couple of things. Timothy, there's so many references to the last days, and it's like a message from the Father's heart to us living in the last days. It's a message from a spiritual father to the next generation of sons as well. But however you look at that, it's extremely relevant to our day that we need to exercise ourselves unto godliness. And I say that, I don't want you to take away from this message, wow, I'm spiritually flabby, I need to get into shape, because I feel like in a lot of ways, I don't want you to take that away, because I've heard messages that are just like that, and they're like almost shaming. And I'm not trying to say that. I'm saying whatever level of spiritual fitness we have right now, God wants to take it to the next level. And it's really important, because the way things are happening today is things are accelerating. Things are getting faster. Things are getting like we're privileged to live in some amazing times right now. And we need to be physically conditioned to do what God's doing and go where he's going. We know the scripture says in the last days, the enemy will try to come and wear out who? The saints. But those who know their God will be strong and do exploits. They're strong in the Lord. They've exercised themselves to godliness. They're strong out of their intimacy with the Lord. And because they've learned to endure in the Lord, to stand in the Lord and the power of His might. They've learned to do that. And in doing that, they, having done all, can stand because they've kept themselves, they've been spiritually fit. The Amplified says, physical training is of some value, but godliness, spiritual training, is of value in everything and in every way, since it holds promise for the present life and the life to come. So we heard earlier in this message, I have need of endurance. You have need of endurance. It's necessary for fruitfulness. It's developed through testing. And it's needed for finishing. And we see that we need to exercise ourselves to godliness. I want to encourage you today to either start an exercise program or to up your exercise program. I'm talking about spiritually right now. A couple of y'all are convicted about physically too. That's fine. But I'm really trying to highlight the spiritual side of this. We obviously need to take care of our physical bodies. We see that more, so we're more aware, but our... Like, we really need this spiritually. I want to encourage you today to re-up your commitment to the secret place, your times alone with God, your Holy Ghost burpees, worship, prayer, the Word. It's there that the roots of your love will grow down deep into Him. I love what 1 Corinthians 13, verse 7 says about love. It says, love hupomones all things. It's love in our hearts, the love of God towards us and from us back to Him. That love of God that will cause us to endure in everything and through everything.